Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Okay, guys, turn your Bibles, if you could please, to Joshua. This is our key scripture verse we're going to start with. We're going to read it out, and then we're going to talk about why we need to be strong and courageous, and then we're actually going to look at another way to be strong and courageous. And I want to let you know up front, there are many ways, but I really feel like there's two kind of categories about being strong and courageous. And at different times, we're going to touch them. But the first thing is what's happening in our heart and what we do and the tools God's given us. And the second way is through the power of the Holy Spirit is how we have a spirit of might to be strong and courageous. But you know what? There's a lot of things in the Bible that talk about what we need to do and the part that we play. So in Joshua 1, this is our key scripture verse. We'll start at verse 6. It says, be strong. Joshua 1, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Strong and courageous. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Now you remember, he says it over and over again. And I said the first week that I started that I believe anytime something is said over and over again, it's because we need to hear it. You know, this is Joshua. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that had a positive view going into to take the land. All the other 10 out of the 12 did not. Two did, 10 did not. So Joshua is strong. He is courageous, but yet there's something that God is speaking to him and to the people that he must need to be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. It's interesting. Two things I want you to know about that verse. The word observe is actually the word shemar. And if you remember, shemar means to guard and to protect. So this, the whole thing through this scripture verse is it's about guarding, protecting. There's action in this. The second thing I want you to be aware of, it says that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, if you're part of Antioch, you know that we have a belief that God wants us to prosper. We don't have a poverty mentality. We also don't have a name it, claim it mentality. But we do know that when we follow God, God wants us to prosper. Not only financially, he wants us to prosper in our health. He wants us to prosper wherever we go. He wants our ministries. He wants our businesses to be successful. He wants you to be successful. That's what the word prosper means. That's what he wants for us. And so this whole idea that we need to live in poverty to be Christians, just throw that out the window. Now, we also can't let money be our God, but money is a tool. And there's a lot of things you cannot do in the kingdom without money. The very, you know, camera sitting in front of me, it took money to purchase that camera to be able to do what we do. All right, so he wants us to prosper. Can I get an amen? I got a couple in the house and hopefully a few more on the internet. Okay, so only be strong. Now, verse 8. There's a lot of keys in here. We're not going to talk about all these today. It says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. The word of God needs to be a part of us day and night. It's not something we do on Sunday. It's not even something we just do in the morning. It's something that should be a part of us all day long. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. I don't know about you, but I want to be prosperous and I want to have good success. Man, you're crazy if you walk into an exam and don't hope to have good success. Nobody would do that. That'd be crazy. I hope to have good success in whatever I do. And God's saying when we follow him and we follow his ways, we should have success. And then verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Those are key words right now. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Come on, somebody say that. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So listen, I wrote a few things down. Why do we need to be strong and courageous? Like why right now? Obviously it's easy. We have a pandemic, but listen. When you're heading into the hospital, the nursing home to work, you need to be strong and courageous. So I'm going to say you need to be. You guys say strong and courageous with me. When you or someone you know or you love becomes sick or gets a bad report, you need to be strong and courageous. When your savings and your investment takes a tanker and plummets, you need to be strong and courageous. When you open your kids' assignments for the day, and you see more crafts to do, more algebra, and more work you don't understand, you need to be strong and courageous. Come on, when Doug Ford says it's going to be another 28 days, you need to be strong and courageous. When your daughter brings home the love of her life, and he's everything you have dreamed of in your nightmares, you need to be strong and creative. Creative, maybe creative, but you need to be strong and courageous. We're having a good time in here. All right. When the authorities want to shut down your ministry and your orphanage and put your kids back into the system, come on, you need to be, Donna, strong and courageous. When the notice says overdue, your boss says we need to let you go. The doctor says we need to operate. Your spouse says I want a divorce. The government says we're going to shut you down. You need to be strong and courageous. And church, as mighty ones, is what we talk about, disciples of Christ. We need to be strong and courageous. And I don't know about you, but listen, this is an hour where it can feel like a little bit of a roller coaster ride with your emotions, with your strength, with your thoughts. And it's the perfect hour to learn to be strong and courageous. And so we're really going after that. One of the things that I really want you to see that I brought up in the first, and I'm going to kind of go back to that for a little bit, and then we're going to take on something new. One of the things that I really want you to understand is that our minds and our hearts are intimately connected. That's why God says, love the Lord your God with all your strength, all your might, all your heart, your mind. He says it all. He says your strength. He says your mind. He says your heart. He says your will. There's different parts where he kind of tweaks it, but the whole point is you use your head and your heart. I think it's worthy to be noted that Adam and Eve were in the perfect place. They were in the garden and they were intimate with the Lord. And you know the thing that the devil came against? The devil didn't try to come and push him. He didn't try to come and you know, say that that God's, he didn't say that God's terrible, but what he did begin to do is work on their minds to make them think that God was withholding. And he started with their minds, and in the end that affected their hearts. It's interesting, when you begin to believe the lies, the end result is, and with Adam and Eve in the garden, the end result is they were fearful and they were full of shame. And you're going to see over and over again as I pull out scriptures that the mind and the heart are intimately connected. And if we want to be strong and prosperous, we have to guard our minds. We have to guard our minds. You say you have to guard your heart. Yeah, you have to guard your heart, but it also begins in your mind. Scripture that we looked at, I'm going to read the one and then we're going to go to the next one. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper. There it is again, New Testament now, not old, New Testament. That you may prosper in all things and that your health may prosper, that you may be in health just as, your soul prospers. I'll read it again. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And as if you remember, if you do, that word soul is not just your soul, it's your mind, it's your heart, it's the whole package. And so as your soul prospers, your health prospers, and you prosper in all things. All right, turn with me. The last scripture we looked at the other day was Proverbs. We're going to go to Proverbs. I got to find it myself. Turn to Proverbs 4. 20 verse 23, 20 verse 23, Proverbs 4, 20 verse 23. We looked at this whole thing last time, you know, giving attention to the things that he says, and that's what it says to do. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear, lean in to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Isn't it interesting? It talks about your ears listening and your eyes seeing. And that's the very thing that we do when we read the word of God. We hear it when we speak it and we look at it. Keep them in the midst of your heart. There it is. Shamar them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all the flesh. You want to know how to stay healthy right now? It is absolutely doing the things that we need to do. Exercising, going for walks, taking supplements, all that stuff. But the bigger, more powerful level, because that's the natural, the spiritual side, is reading the Word of God. Both Joshua and Proverbs talk very clearly that you need to meditate on the Word of God. Listen, we eat 3 times a day because we know we need food to sustain our body. I think it's interesting that we often forget we need to eat the Word of God 3 or more times a day to sustain us. And yet that's a higher level of understanding than the natural level, which is down here. The spiritual is always higher than the natural. And so if we know that we need to take supplements and eat to stay healthy, how much more than eating the Word of God and meditating on it? It says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all the flesh. And then it says again, keep your heart, keep, protect, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. When you have issues in your life, check your heart and check your mind. Because whatever's happening in your heart is usually what's happening in your head. I love this quote by Craig Rochelle. It says, your life is generally moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If you don't like your direction, change your thoughts. I'm going to read that again. Your life is generally moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If you don't like the direction, change your thoughts. Man, so important. All right, so we're learning how to be strong and courageous. We're learning that we need to, okay, just to make sure you understand this. If we want to be strong and courageous, we need to let the Word of God in us, and we have to be careful what hits our heads. We have to be careful what hits our hearts, because you cannot be strong. We all know it. When you get a thought, Bible says clearly, take every thought captive. When we get a thought and we start to play with that thought and it's not a God thought, it begins to spiral us. And when we begin to spiral, we begin to make bad choices. Isaiah, I don't want to turn there, but Isaiah 26, I believe it's either 2 or 3, says, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind or imagination is stayed on you, is fixed on you. Perfect peace, the person whose mind, and that word is actually imagination. You will keep him in perfect peace whose imagination and thoughts are fixed on you. We'll probably go there another day. All right, so let's jump into today. Actually, before I get into the key, I want you to turn to one scripture verse, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. I'm going to have Josh put that up, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. I want us to maybe understand something. You know, a lot of times we read the Bible, and I don't know about you, we've been so programmed to think Christians are often, flower, mamby-pamby, just, you know. Sometimes I think we read Psalms and we think of David that way. It's easy to read the Psalms because a lot of the Psalms are written by David. And I think it's easy to think, oh, David's just this, you know, harp-playing, music-loving, poem-writing guy. Do you realize that it's David that took a slingshot, swung it, and hit Goliath in the head? Now, you may say, well, that's kind of the way I would think him to be. You know, he doesn't want to get too close. No, you forget, though. He ran up, grabbed Goliath's sword, and he cut off his head. Like, this is the David we're talking about when we're going to read some scriptures here around David. David was a giant slayer. He was a warrior. He went to battle. And I'm telling you, if you've ever watched any movies like Braveheart, we're not talking, you know, like from afar, like a sniper. They're using swords and, you know, I don't have to go into graphic detail, but like these are warriors. And you need to understand that David wrote the Psalms. So when you read the Psalms, you need to know that he's not just writing them for fun. There are keys for what he is doing. I was just reading the other day, Psalm, let me just turn to it. This is not in my notes, but, you know, is it any interest when David's running for his life and he's writing Psalm 3, like he's sitting in a cave like we would journal, and he's writing such important points, and he says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. That's a declaration. We talk about declarations. He's writing a declaration. But what does he start with? Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help from his God. He's being mocked, and they're like, your God doesn't even listen to you. Come on, we're going to kill you. And we look at this, and this is David, the giant slayer, the one that has a sword and will cut off people's heads. And he's sitting down going, okay, this is a key in my life. I have to remind myself who God is. And he writes verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice and he heard me from his holy hill. Like we need to, this is why we write declarations. And I'm saying that because you're going to have a challenge at the end. All right, let's go back to 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. Are you able to get that up, Josh? Awesome. Okay, I'm jumping into a story here. The quick story is basically David and his men went to war. And when they came back, the city where their wives and their sons and daughters were at, while they were out, was totally taken over. Now, they didn't kill anybody, but they took them all captive. And so here's the warriors coming home from fighting a battle. They're exhausted, and they come home to find their city in ruins and burning, and all their children and their wives gone. And then it says that the warriors, the ones that have been following him, you talk about betrayal, the very ones that he brought into out of captivity, he brought them into the cave of Adullam. He trained them. He brought them out of distress. They were all, they were in distress. They were defeated. They were destitute. They were poor. He brought them up. He trained them. Like these are the men that we're talking about that have walked with David. And when they saw that, they said they wanted to stone him. Talk about a level of betrayal. Like the very people that you've walked with in one moment turn on you and they want to betray you. But I want to show you something. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all their people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But here's the key. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. It literally means that David walked away, found a place, and strengthened himself in the Lord his God, came back, sought the Lord, got the answer, they went after him, overtook him, and got their wives and their children back. Like a little line that is such a key. He strengthened himself in the Lord. And I want you to know this. When it says in Joshua, be strong and of good courage, it is the same word here as strengthened. It's the same thing that we're to do. Right now in this hour, it's no joke that we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be strengthening ourselves because our mind will only take us so far. Our thoughts, you know, listen, you know, you might have had a savings and you watched it plummet. Be strong and of good courage. Well, how are you going to do that? You're going to strengthen yourself in the Lord. I think a lot of times maybe we're missing, oh man, I wish I could just walk up to the front of the line right now and get hands laid on me. My friend, that's not how you're going to get strong and of the Lord and of good courage. It's what you're going to do with the time that you have where you're going to be strong and of good courage. All right, you guys ready to jump into the key for today? Thank you, Pastor Rod. Okay, I want you to turn to Romans, and we're going to look at a key today that I hope, you know, it's something that we've known. I just hope to drive it, drill it down a little deeper. I want you to look at a key here, Romans 1, verse 21. All right, Romans 1, verse 21 says this. Actually, let's start with verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Basically, what that's saying is, and it says, you really do not, if you're born into this world and don't believe in God, there's really no excuse. I know people would argue with that, but I'm telling you, if you just go anywhere to see the nature and creation of God, there's something that happens inside of you. I always refer back to the first time I ever saw the Rocky Mountains, first time I ever came around this turn and saw the glory of the Rocky Mountains and how beautiful it was. It's the same thing when I've gone to the ocean, I saw the beauty of the ocean. There's something inside of you that goes, you know what, this is, there's no way. No way that this is just formed. If you look at the beauty of a child, a baby that's born, and you look at the intricacy, this is what boggles my mind, church. When you look at the intricacy of how the eyes are formed, that there are millions of synapses or millions of connections that go from one side that have to match up with another million of connections, and they have to match up perfectly, or else you can't see. The intricacy of the body is incredible. That makes us go, man, there's got to be a God. And then it says this in verse 21, and this is what we see in society today. It says, because although that they knew God or were aware of a God, they did not glorify him as God. Now, here's the keys. They did not glorify him God as God. They were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Look at it again. Look at it. It says, futile in their what? Thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What's the intimate connection? Thoughts and heart, thoughts and heart, thoughts and heart. Because they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, it says that their thoughts became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Think about that for a minute. When our thoughts begin to go astray, and one of the keys, this is the key I want to bring out today. It is right here. When we are not thankful for what the Lord has given to us, what is around us, and right now we're like, what do we have to be thankful for? Just take a second and look around you. There is still so much to be thankful for. Thankfulness turns our heart back to being grateful and glorifying him as God. Of still saying, God, you're still in control. You're still sovereign. You're still the one that's calling the shots. This may be going on around me, but I'm still choosing to be thankful. I'm still choosing to set my mind and my heart on you. The key is when we don't take time to be thankful, it says that our thoughts become foolish and our hearts become darkened. And you know what happens when our hearts are darkened? And it goes back, remember, spring of life. Guard your heart with all diligence because out of it spring the issues of life. Right now I keep talking about this plant, and I know it's silly, but I'm pretty excited about my plant downstairs because our room is in the basement. And I brought this plant down not knowing if it would even survive. But I'm amazed that every morning I make sure I get up and I open the blinds and we have this, I have to take a picture one day. This thing has massive leaves and it just gave birth to another leaf. That's what we called it. It gave birth. And this leaf is massive. It's like a tropical plant. But you know what? It would be interesting if, it wouldn't be interesting because if I darkened my room and if I didn't open my blinds every day, because it leans into the sun. I have to, every week I have to turn it because it keeps leaning. So then I turn it the next week so it can lean back and it just, I have to keep doing that. But if I were to darken my room, that plant would die. And what does it say? It says their foolish hearts were darkened. And Proverbs says, out of your heart spring up the issues of life. So when you darken your heart, the issues of your life are going to become darkened. Your thoughts are going to become futile and you're going to start having crazy thoughts. So if you find yourself having thoughts of things that you know are wrong or things that you should not be doing, we got to take it back to glorify him as God and being thankful. Yesterday, I woke up. I had this weird cycle. I woke up and I was really encouraged. And at some point, it's like I got hit with discouragement. And all day I was trying to battle and I had to do the very thing that I'm talking about. I had to go to war with my thoughts. And I had to continually take every thought captive and begin to go, no, 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 you are still on the throne. You know, when you read an article and it says another 28 days, when you see the death toll and it just bothers you and you hear somebody else is sick, you know, this is, how are you going to pray if you're discouraged? You have to be in a place of victory to be able to pray in victory. You know what grows? This is the other thing that's interesting. You know what actually grows in the darkness? Black mold. Black mold is the worst thing you want in a house. Those are the things that you do not want growing in your life. Things that could make you sick. Things that could literally poison you. And so we want to make sure that we have the blinds of our life open so we can receive the sun. And I actually want to go there right now. And I want to look at, I want to turn back to a psalm. So turn to Psalms 100. You guys know this psalm well. Psalms 100 verses 4 and 5. I got a little bit of time left. Psalms 100 verse 4 to 5. Guys, this is why we worship. This is the root. This is the foundation of why we worship. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. The song that we used to sing is, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's Romans right there. It's like literally glorify him and be thankful. For the Lord is good. If you struggle with, man, maybe the Lord's doing this right now. Maybe this pandemic's of him and he wants to teach us a lesson. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. So my theology is I'm sticking with that and I'm sticking with John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when that pandemic hits the nursing homes, it's not God trying to teach these older people a lesson, the elderly a lesson. No, it's the devil that tries to come steal, kill, and destroy. And your prayer was so great that he's trying to rob the generations above us, our very heritage. But the Bible talks about we have a heritage. This is our heritage being robbed. And we say no, no, no in Jesus' name. It's interesting, though, it says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. One of the things that I'm sure you're aware of right now that, the things that we need to do in the natural, one of the things that is so important is to get vitamin D. And it's interesting, the best way to get vitamin D, you hopefully know, is by getting into the sun. When you get into the sun, the vitamin, the sun, the ultraviolet rays connects with the cholesterol on your skin and it actually creates vitamin D. In the wintertime, we take supplements. But vitamin D is the greatest thing you can do to boost your immunity. That's the natural level, okay? The greatest thing you can do to boost your immunity is vitamin D. But I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing is to get into the presence of the Lord. Remember what I said, the spiritual is always higher than the natural. And so the greatest thing you could do right now is get into the S-O-N, the sun, and get into his presence. And the key is, how do we get into his presence? Thanksgiving. We get into his presence with thanksgiving. We get into his presence with praise. When we are thankful for all that he's doing, you get into his presence. And when you get into his presence, the key is thankfulness. You get through the door. And when you're in the sun and in his presence, you have the ability to get the ultraviolet rays, the Holy Spirit, and you will have a greater boost in your immunity. Why? Because we know he wants us to be in good health and to prosper as our soul prospers. How does our soul prosper? Well, we got to protect it. We got to get into the word. We got to lean into the word. We got to get into his presence. How do we get into his presence? Thankfulness. So the key is thankfulness right now. And I'm telling you, it's hard. Some days I have to like, okay, what am I thankful for? But here's a key. When you can't find anything to be thankful for in your present, think of a testimony. Think of a moment that God broke through, and that begins to change your demeanor. That begins to change how you feel. The other day, I was struggling, to be honest with you. It was a couple Sundays ago, and again, I think we just all go through these moments of struggle, and I was struggling, and I just said, Lord, I need you to encourage me. I need some encouragement from you. I said that on a Sunday. I was so blessed that I had two or three on Monday. I said that on Sunday. I had two or three people text me Monday morning. I had one person call me. I had another person text me. Two other people text me just to encourage me because God uses people in our life. And through that, it picked up my spirits and I was able to pursue again. That's why when you feel to text someone, it is so important right now just to text them and say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm believing in you. Now, Megan shared a story with us, a simple thing. It was Gracelyn's birthday and a friend of hers drove and they found out it was the Gracelyn's birthday and a kid from school drove out with his mom and they put a sign in the front yard and balloons and something else and a little card. Well, that just perked Gracelyn up. We all need that. We all need that. All right. You got to get into the sun. The key is gratefulness. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. I know I'm shooting out a lot of scriptures here. I'd rather you believe the word of God than just me. As you're turning to 1 Thessalonians 5, I want you to know, interesting enough, Romans 1:21, when we said be thankful, that word thanks is Eucharistio. That's where we get the word Eucharist from. That's where we get communion from. So that's the very point. When you take communion, that is showing gratitude and gratefulness for what he did on the cross. When you're grateful for what he did on the cross, you're keeping your eyes on the fact that he is salvation and nothing else. Doesn't matter if the stock market crashes, he's your salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay, so, and I'm getting ready to wrap it up. It's interesting, we often think, you know, this is the will of God. This is the demand of God. No, we get it wrong. We don't realize that His will is actually for our benefit. His will is for us. His will is for that when we do this, it actually benefits us. So that's why it's His will that we do it. I think sometimes, you know, like when I'm growing up, my commands for my children, you know, it may look like I'm angry or mad. It's my commands are actually for their benefit because I know the long-term investment, if they do this, will actually benefit them. So this is the will of God. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. So what I want you to take out of this is thankfulness shifts the reality that we're focused on. When we pray, when we're thankful, and when we rejoice, it shifts the reality we're focused on. Well, how do I know that? Because Colossians 3 verse 1 says, if you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. When we keep focused on what He's doing, when we declare the truth through rejoicing and through thankfulness, what does truth do? Truth sets you free. So when we begin to go back to, so let me give you an example. Maybe you open up, I'll use two fun ones. You know, I like the one I said, because I know a lot of the parents, you know, it's so much work right now when you're having to do algebra and crafts and all the things. You're like, oh my gosh, you have to be strong and courageous. But listen, when you begin to start telling yourself you can't do it, the other example is when you open up your bank account and you see your finances dwindling and you begin to go, I don't have enough money. I don't have the capability. I can't. Well, you are actually out of the will of God. But when you begin to turn into thankfulness and you begin to go, God, I thank you that you've equipped me. I thank you that no matter how I feel, that you can do this through me. I thank you that I don't live just on finances alone. I live on every word that proceeds out of your mouth. I thank you, Lord, you want me to prosper. That's your heart for me, not my heart for myself. You want me to prosper. So you have a way out of this. And when you begin to thank him for what he's about to do, it changes your mind, which will affect your heart. And it begins to shift your mindset, and you begin to take a higher perspective thinking on things above. You begin to grab things above. You're like, no, I'm capable. I may not know how to do this, but Lord, I'm going to reach into your strength, and you're capable, therefore I'm capable. And you begin to set yourself free by the truth, and it's through rejoicing. And so you get into the presence of God through rejoicing. When you're in the presence of God, you can begin to shift your mindset and begin to grab a hold of the truth and go, no, this is the truth. This is the truth. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Church, if you're anything like me, a lot of times we want a quick fix. You know, the key in that is we thank and rejoice, but we also pray. There is a part. The more I look at the scripture, the more I realize a lot of it, it's not that we're doing it, but he uses these things to make us strong and courageous. He uses these things to get our focus on him and to make us, like, I can't go to the gym and look at the weights and go, man, I just by looking at these weights, I'm going to get strong. No, there's action required. And so when I go, I'm trying to hit the gym 6 days a week right now. Most of what I do is simply at home. I don't love it all the time. I do like to work out, but I'm just taking it to the next level. I want to be healthy. And I'm thankful when I feel my body and my muscles are growing and they're tense. I love that feeling, but it takes the effort. And so we're strong and courageous. We know because of the mighty one within us, but there are keys to get there. And rejoicing is a key. Because if not, our minds become futile, our hearts become darkened, and the only thing that grows in a dark place is negative things. But when we get into the sun by rejoicing and let the sun shine and we begin to rejoice, man, good things grow, and out of it will spring good things. One last scripture, and then I'm going to give you a call to action. Philippians 4. You can turn to it or you can just listen. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 9. This is literally the very thing. I know we've talked about this before, but we're drilling down a little deeper. We're going deeper, church. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 9, it says, be anxious for nothing. How is that even possible? Well, it says, be anxious for nothing. It means that we are going to get anxious, but it means that we have to turn in. But in everything, here we go again, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, where is understanding? In our minds, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Are you getting the connection? The intimate connection between our minds and our hearts? Like there's an absolute intimate connection. I'm going to read it again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then he gives us how do we do it. Like literally, this is how we do it. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So what's it saying? Hey, this is Paul saying, this is what I do when I'm in prison, when I'm in a dark dungeon. You know, Paul had this joy. Paul had peace in the darkest of places. Like, you got to remember, like, we think it's bad now, church. Like, you got to look at what they were doing back in the day. They're putting them into the stadiums. And I know there's kids watching, so I don't want to say too much. But man, there are some things happening. So how did they stay out of anxiousness? I have to once in a while go, okay, Lord, I am sorry for being discouraged right now because I'm just in my house. Four walls and a nice roof. I get to go outside and sit in the sun. I get to cut my grass. I get to go for a walk. I get to talk with my family. I get to kiss my wife goodnight. We're not in prison. And sometimes I think, what am I doing being discouraged right now? Yeah, it's weird. I think there's a shock value because we don't get to do what we normally do. But when it comes down to it, our lives are not, we're not being thrown into dungeons. We're not being thrown into stadiums to be killed. Like, come on, church. And then what is Paul's solution to this? He's like, hey, guys, this is what you do. When you're down and dark, it's going to affect your mind. So what do you do? Well, you guard your mind and your heart by thinking on those things that are true, those things that are noble, those things that are just, those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, those things that are of good report. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. I realize that complaining is a form of meditation. We're just thinking about something over and over again, and that's what I got caught in myself yesterday. I got caught with one thought. I pray that you're not like me, but if you're like me, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You get caught in a thought, and it just begins to process in your mind, and you gotta, you know, it pulls you into the ditch, and you gotta get out of the ditch, and you gotta stay on that road. And so what I had to begin to do, I had to begin to fill my heart and my thoughts with good things. You know, and I like watching a movie, don't get me wrong, but you know what? A movie is not necessarily gonna get your head out of the ditch, your body out of the ditch. You got to do something like this. You got to think upon those things that are holy. Think upon those things that are pure. Think upon those testimonies. You know, the simplest thing I've been doing is, you know, the 1918 and 1919, they were hit with an incredible plague. And so I just remind myself, you know what? They made it through. They made it through. We will make it through too. I think of World War II when cities were absolutely destroyed, completely destroyed, and they rebuilt. So what I do is I'm like, you know what? Our forefathers did it. We will do it too. And we're not even talking about destroyed cities. You know, people are like, well, we'll never get back to normal. And you know, our finances will never. You know what, church? That's just, we constantly want to live in discouragement. Why don't we begin to declare, you know what? God is able. God is capable. Maybe right now he's trying to get our hearts reset so we can become the very strong and mighty ones we're supposed to be. All right. Call to action. Here we go. If you want to do anything, Pastor Rod had a great call to action a couple weeks ago, and he wanted us to post on our fridge scripture verses. And that is so, you know, so we would literally, that was his point. You need to see scripture verses to get your eyes focused. Here's what I'd like you to do. If you want to take, if you want to grow into a strong and courageous one, this is what I encourage you to do. I want you to try to listen to one worship song a day. You want to kill two birds with one stone? I like to do this. I like to get my headphones and I like to go into the sun, the actual S-U-N, and I like to get a worship song on so I can get into the S-O-N. And I just love to sit and I love to just listen to a worship song. So listen to a worship song a day. And I'm not saying you have to, but I'm going to encourage you to try to do it in the morning and focus for that entire song on Him. Don't journal. Don't write out your to-do list. Don't get distracted. Focus on Him. Put all other distractions away. Get into the S-O-N because it's a higher level of immunity. And then I want you to do this. I want you to list 3 to 5 things a day that you are grateful and thankful for. And if you can't find anything because you're discouraged, remind yourself of a testimony. Remind yourself of things like when we prayed for Bonnie, who was going to go in and had devastating things that could be happening with her heart. And we prayed that she would have the heart of a 10-year-old. And that's exactly what the doctor said her heart was. And she didn't have to have that surgery. Think about the times when finances came in, when you didn't know where they were going to come in. Think about the time when maybe you were at the darkest and you lost everything and God rebuilt your finances. Think about the time when your children got saved when you thought it would be impossible. Begin to think upon the good things, the praiseworthy things, the pure things. Amen. Well, worship team, come on up. We're going to close today and then we're going to show Pastor Rod's video. Pastor Rod wants me to repeat the challenge. All right. Listen to one worship song a day. Get into the S-O-N. And if you want to do it simultaneously, sit in the S-U-N. If you can, get outside and focus 100% on Him. Learn to just put your hands up and worship Him. You know, maybe even you just get into a place of receiving. You know, the world has taken meditation. It's funny that the meditation is a godly thing. And yet the world has taken over the meditation. And yet we're supposed to meditate on the godly things. So put the headphones on and, you know, get before the Lord. It's funny how we worship. It says to raise holy hands. And yet they've taken it and done this whole thing that's ungodly. I don't even want to get into it. But worship Him. Focus in on Him. And then list 3 to 5 things a day that you are grateful for. And if you can't find something that you're grateful for, remind yourself of a testimony. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.